Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf.
And my name is Adam. And we're headed to you guys today on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And to be honest, we got a lot to be thankful for on this pod.
We are,
right?
True.
We were a little bit, you know, negative Nancy's on
gloomy.
Sunday. A little bit gloomy after the game. And you know what? Today, much better result. There's some whispers that Messi might win the Ballon d'Or on Tuesday, but no one really talk about it because I have a feeling that it's a media attempt to make us all upset.
He doesn't want to spread the or bring negativity and, you know, backlash.
So let's get back to it. Champions League group stage winners, FC Barcelona. Like we were saying on Sunday, we're in this kind of weird limbo where all of us are not very happy with Ernie. We're not very happy with how the defense or offense has looked. But again, top of the league, tied with Real Madrid. And now we have officially qualified as group of death winners.
So I'm happy. There's a lot of things that came out of this game. I saw some changes. We'll get into it.
A lot of bad, too, though. I think I might need a new... I don't want to keep saying Tale of Two Cities.
No.
Any of you guys have been listening for the whole season with us, you've heard me say Tale of Two Seasons probably 600,000 times, and it was a little bit of a Tale of Two...
We'll get into it, but it was... Overall, it was a much better vibe.
For sure.
But you were right, unfortunately, for me, because you're going to throw it in my face. But you were right with the score. You got
boom,
3-1
prediction, and look what we got, 3-1. I was hoping for a Messi hat trick, but I'll take a Messi goal and two assists.
And not only that, but Griezmann goal and Suarez goal.
Right, yeah. I mean, we were kind of talking about this earlier, but overall for this game, I did feel like the team was happier to win than normal, which is kind of weird to say for a home game at Camp Nou, but there did seem to be a new energy in the stadium and amongst the players, right? Like, I remember when Messi scored that second goal, he looks really happy, which, you know, he always looks pretty happy scoring a goal, but this was, like, more emphatic than usual. You know, I'd kind of talk to Yusuf about this off the air, but I have this feeling around the team this year that there's a lot more attention being paid to like the media and the fan reactions than in previous seasons. I felt like last season some of these games would go rough and Valverde, you know, the press would say, "Hey, he needs to start XYZ," and Valverde would just do his Valverde thing and just start a lineup none of us really understood. I feel like this season when a game goes bad, he kind of injects some new life and tries out new players, whether that's his own choice in the midfield today or because of injuries and suspensions for the back line. But overall, I think that, you know, and you can see it not only with the players and not only with the coach, but with, like, the team social media, right? The FC Barcelona Twitter and Instagram are really trying to shove this Messi Griezmann love in our faces, which, hey, we're all here for.
We're happy.
Right? I'm down for the Messi Griezmann love, you know, as much as all of you guys are. But it is a little bit funny to see the team push so hard. And I also think that, you know, even Lenglet after the game made a comment where he was like, "Yes, Messi assisted Griezmann. Now you guys can stop talking about it." So, you know, overall, I do think there's a little bit more of an attention to the press and to the fans, which normally I think in a vacuum, I would say is probably not a good thing for, like, my favorite team to do because the press and the fans are not always right, and they, you know, they might not have the larger picture that the team's trying to create. In this case, with Ernesto Valverde, there's not really a larger picture, so I am glad to see the team seem to acknowledge some of the narratives being pushed in the media, and, you know, when it's to our benefit to acknowledge them and to show that we're overcoming the negative parts of the beginning of the season, they are, you know, respecting that and telling the fans and the media, like, "Hey, like, listen, you guys made a thing of it. Griezmann didn't fit in well. It's still, like, kind of awkward. He's on the left wing. But, hey, Messi assisted him. Get that narrative out of here. Let's focus on playing some beautiful football," which we saw for about 50 minutes today.
Sure. And you can also say that when Griezmann scored, he looked really happy. You know, Messi jumped on top of him. They were celebrating. Like you said, the team looked like they had a new energy to them after they scored, and they looked more celebratory. And I would totally agree with that. And I also want to, you know, since you're talking about the media influence on the team's decisions and whatnot, we saw Valverde choose an interesting lineup, right?
Definitely.
So we saw in the
midfield.
Just
shocking, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If you guys follow us on Twitter, at Barca Breakdown, Instagram, at Barca Breakdown, I put out my thoughts last night, and I predicted that we would see the return of that lineup that we saw, you know, really shine in the Inter Milan game when Vidal came on second half, and that was Vidal, Arthur, Frankie. Totally wrong about that take, to be honest. So, yeah, let's talk about the lineup today.
It seems like Valverde has an anti-Arthur agenda going on at the moment. I don't know what it's about. I wouldn't really say it's anti-Arthur agenda, but he's not been playing, right?
Let's get into that. Yeah. I was pretty shocked because yesterday in the press conference before the game, Valverde goes out there and he says, I guess building up to his comments, I think Yus and I were under the impression that Arthur was playing too many minutes. He has his whole, you know, we troll about the protein shakes mm-hmm. and the being like weighing too much and that how that issue has affected him. And you know, legitimately in the first season that he had at Barca last year, he had some issues playing continuously, right? I think in spring of 2019, he didn't like play a full 90 minutes.
Well, he got taken out after 50, 60 minutes or whatever it was.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Ernie comes out yesterday and says, Arthur, he starts some games, he doesn't start others. He's got to fight for his position, which was really the first time I had heard Ernesto or anyone say that Arthur wasn't playing because of his ability.
Sure.
Because I feel like this whole season, a lot of us have been thinking, wow, Arthur and Frankie connect well. There are some criticisms I've had about Arthur where he's a little bit too sideways looking, and maybe that's what Ernie's going for. What's your take, Yus?
I can see that, and I think that maybe Valverde has a point in that and trying to force Arthur to develop his skills a little bit more. But in my head, Valverde makes a comment like that and then has someone like Rakitic who hasn't played at all, really. Someone who hasn't really shown, showing his top-tier abilities in a lot of these games that he gets put into. We saw it today. He had some good moments, and he's some very bad moments, like some bad giveaways. And
yes.
In my head, when we're talking about who we're going to play and, oh, we have to fight for the spot.
And you're pushing Arthur down into that.
And
he's
then putting Rakitic in. Yeah,
that's very interesting.
Very odd. And you know me, I love Rakitic. So even from a biased source, I'm even saying that doesn't make sense.
So to break down the lineup today, right up front, we had Messi, Suarez, Dembouz.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'll get into, you know, the unfortunate situation that happened a little bit later. I think that front three was not shocking. Of course, Griezmann could have played, but you know, there's this weird situation here where we all don't think Griezmann should play as a left winger. So the fact that he put Dembouz as a left winger, not shocking, right?
True.
Then we go to the midfield, and then we had
Busquets, FDJ, and Rakitic, and then
right?
Yeah, Busi, really odd that he played so bad and still starting this game, which is another thing to your point about fighting for spots. But then we had Firpo on the side and Roberto.
And then in the two center backs, because Piqué was out, and also because Piqué looked bad this weekend, and he's been making these, in my opinion, smart Alec comments to the media about how, oh, the Davis Cup is my priority. we saw Umtiti come back.
Sure.
Big Sam.
Did really well.
Got me hyped up, man. Yeah, Big Sam and then Lenglet, our solid rock.
Sure, we haven't had a day where we've, except for that one time he got the red card.
It was his first appearance as a Barca player last season.
That was pretty much like our shaky point, but from then on he's been solid. But
so what did you think when you saw the lineup? What was your prediction? Because I believe you predicted a draw this game,
I did.
Right? And I'm always the Barca homer, always predicting a win, I was pretty nervous, right? We were at the gym a few nights ago, and I was like, hey, if we don't win this game at the Camp Nou against Dortmund, we're pretty screwed.
Yeah, it could be the downfall of our whole season, losing the round of
16. Because I don't know if we're going to win against Inter, man. Lautaro Martinez scores in the first 20 minutes of every game. Lukaku's looking good with them.
Sure.
You're right, though.
Sure.
Doesn't matter. So, yeah.
When
I saw the starting lineup, my opinion was this midfield was going to be too slow for the game.
That's what I read, too, and I thought about it. The one thing I've noticed about having these players in and having them in this midfield, I should say.
These three?
Yes. Having them in at the start, usually there's, I feel like there's more of a connection forward, but because when I see Arthur sometimes, and I like Arthur, but when I see him sometimes, I think he tends to hold on the ball too much, and I think some of these players, like Rakitic and Busquets, tend to sometimes let go of the ball a little earlier. But I haven't had faith in Busquets and Rakitic in a long time, so in my head, I was like, well, I can't really think that. A lot of narrative recently has not led me to that thought.
And I think, you know, we've also been talking about that kind of the veneer of the Barca, mostly aways when we refer to this, but I guess even at home we can mention, like, there's not that scared attitude anymore. So I was worried that they were going to put high pressure, high press on Busquets and Rakitic, and we were going to see them not perform well like we've seen them not perform well in the last 8 months mm-hmm. with that type of, you know, high press, high action, you know, defensive
But I think
work.
those two, not counting FDJ, generally add a lot of control to the game. So when I saw the lineup, I was like, you know what? A 1-1 draw makes sense. He might just be trying to keep possession of the ball, trying to, you know, squeeze in a goal here or there. But I thought that it was going to be more of like a possession game.
Interesting, because in my head, I see Busquets, I see Umtiti coming in, who, you know, still wasn't sure how he was going to perform.
Sure.
I see Firpo in, who's had highs and real lows on Barca. So I was just thinking, they're going to press us hard, they're going to hit us on the counter, boom, get 1-2. You know, we can hold the ball for as long mm-hmm. as we want, but as we've seen, we're got that Swiss cheese D.
Sure.
But
today looked a little different.
Yes, and before we break it into the game, if you would please follow us on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, leave us a 5-star review, give us any criticism you guys got. As we mentioned, at Barca Breakdown on Twitter or Instagram, slide in those DMs, let us know how we can do some better podcasting. But let's go into the game. Early on, a bit shaky, right? We were talking about Rakitic's mistakes.
Sure.
Around the, you know,
wasn't even the first minute.
Yeah, like first, second minute, he gives up a ball, they go on the counter, and, you know, thankfully we have our Lord and Savior, Matt.
Yeah, for sure. So the game starts with that play, and I was like, okay, well, whatever. Let's see what's going on. The game continues, and I felt pretty good on... I would say I felt pretty good on our ability to move the ball in the early game.
Although, it was crazy.
Yeah.
We, like, after that first 5-minute spell, I felt like we just took off.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
And I felt like the big thing for me was that we were trying to counterattack and move the ball forward way more quick than I've seen this whole season.
That is true, but to add to some of our, you know, negative side of our play, it seemed like they were almost gifting us the ball sometimes that led to some of these great plays, and I'm not going to complain about that whatsoever, but I just don't want to highlight our positive offensive play too much because I think their defensive play was pretty poor in those first 30 minutes.
I think you're right. And, you know, I'm like... Everyone on social media likes to be like an extremist and have one or the other
sure.
take. I think it's both correct that our offense looked much better than it has all season and that Dortmund looks poor. And I think, you know, I kind of prefaced this on the Sunday podcast, which was, if you remember to Dortmund's game this past weekend, they were down 3-0 in the first half to a team that had just gotten promoted in Bundesliga mm-hmm. and had like 4 points in 11 games.
For
so,
sure.
you know, with a little bit more of a, you know, fleshed out thought about how that performance was and that we're playing at the Camp Nou and that, you know, no one expected this, right? But Messi and Suarez were connecting like crazy.
For sure.
Right? And so mm-hmm. obviously the big black dark cloud over that first half was that Dembouz pulled up hurt. You know, thankfully he was able to walk off the field. I think, you know, it's important to make sure that, like, we're frustrated with the situation, not necessarily the player, right? Like,
I think,
yeah, we all pull for Dembouz, and we hope that he can still continue and rise above these issues. It's getting hard to believe that after each of these injuries. But, you know, Griezmann comes in, and it looks good, man. I felt like it was, you know, we're talking about the Lakers this year, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, a lot of movement, a lot of fast breaks, Showtime-type Lakers. I felt like that with this Barca team. Well, I felt like Messi was just dribbling incredibly.
Going off with his dribbles, honestly.
I felt Suarez was making the cool passes. They were even getting dummies to Griezmann.
Mm-hmm.
It really seemed like there was a concerted effort today to get Griezmann involved. And so first goal comes up, right? We get the ball. Messi passes it. Nice little run by Suarez, keeping onside, and he just puts it away.
Mm-hmm.
Five hole through the keeper's legs.
What's nice about that play was... Almost any other time this year, I would have thought Suarez would have fumbled and messed up that shot, right? Today, he looked so much more grounded and stable on a lot of his touches and even the strength of his touches, which, you know, if you look at the second goal by Messi, Suarez gave him a little perfect touch pass and Messi put it away, but Suarez typically tends to, at least in this season, overpass and, you know, add too much energy
and
to the ball.
Have a heavy first touch.
Yeah.
And you're right. On that pass to get Messi's goal, it was just a beautiful little dink to Messi. And then Messi just perfect perfect shot right through the corner, right through the defender in two legs. Yeah, like you're saying, nothing but really high praise for Suarez in that first. I think when we break down the game, like we take the first 5 minutes as kind of a shaky period, and then somewhere between like 5 and 70 is really like what was the high point of the game. And I think you're right. In that period, Griezmann looked great. We had finally a Messi assist to Griezmann, mm-hmm. like we're talking about, came a little bit after the first half, around the 65th minute.
67th, yeah.
Yeah, Messi just had a great little cross pass to Griezmann. And, you know, what we saw there was Griezmann, you know, there's been a lot of frustration about Griezmann playing out of position. One thing I have noticed is that he's had some opportunities when he gets a ball on the left side and he's one-on-one with a goalie. It's not his natural position. It's not a great angle for him to kick it with his left foot.
Sure.
But, you know, those goals could be made, and he has been getting them blocked or kicking them, you know, near post and going out.
He had this one earlier the game like that.
Yeah, exactly. And this time he just slotted in perfectly. I really hope that this is kind of a jumping off point for him to grow some confidence and start feeling like he's a member of the team, right?
Well, that, and I also think he received the ball earlier down the field, I believe. So he had a little bit more room to work with, which gave him, it wasn't the ideal angle, like you're saying, for a left-footed player, but it's much better than some of the balls he receives in other games, which I feel like are way too deep and way too out. And so now that makes the angle almost impossible. The goalie can cut it off very easily. But in this case, he received the ball earlier, had a little time to, you know, run, and that gave him the room and the opportunity to score this goal, and it couldn't have been better.
Yeah, let's also talk about, I thought Rakitic he wasn't blowing me away. It wasn't his best performance ever, but was it better than what he showed this season?
Sure.
Yes. Did it, you know, he had that real bad turnover like we mentioned in the first 5 minutes, but it did seem like he had turned a page a little bit in terms of showing his passion and wanting to win. You know, a few of these other games he's coming in as a sub, and I felt like he kind of let the moment pass by him and didn't show that passion you want from a player who is trying to gain back his spot. I thought this game, you know, he put in a good shift. Frankie De Jong, man, that guy is...
Got to give it up to him, for
he
sure.
He really gets soccer, which is a weird thing to say, but, like, there are certain players who are, like, really high IQ, and you can tell not necessarily by, like, what they do with the ball, but by their off-the-ball movement. Mm-hmm. And there's just times, if you watch him alone, even when he doesn't have the ball, where he's making runs, he's creating space. I really love him. And the other thing about Frankie is he's really fast.
For sure.
I don't know if you've noticed that, but, dude, that guy zooms around. Like, he's, you know, I don't know. I don't always think of, like, the blonde-haired, you know, very thin and frail white dude is like the quickest guy on the field, but he is a speedster.
See, I think he looks like, if you look at him from afar, he may look like, meh. But I think when you look at him closely, he looks like a very fit person. I think he looks like he's very capable. To talk about how good he was doing, earlier when we had that call for the goal that was overturned because of offsides, he had a great pass in.
To Messi, yeah, for sure.
And like, if we see those passes more often, more and more, I can only tell like we're going to be scoring a lot more goals, right?
True. Do you have any more comments about that golden period of like 5 to 65? You know, in my eyes, I thought...
Yes, I do.
I thought Firpo
was
pretty like decent. I mean, he didn't have a blowaway game.
No.
But I thought, you know, there were some weird people on social media trying to call him trash. I just thought it was way out of place. And then Sergi Roberto, man.
You were loving him, for sure.
What a game. there are certain games at the Camp Nou when Sergi Roberto will just come up crazy, right? He has those iconic performances. He has the 6-1 goal against PSG. He has the run... towards the goal that ended up with Messi scoring when it was a 3-2 win at the Bernabeu, right? He has these certain games and like iconic moments that were great, and I felt like this game he really showed some of that type of gusto. And, you know, we've been critical of him as a midfielder and as a right back throughout this season. We had to play him because of injuries, and he showed up, and I'm very glad to see it. I mean, I don't think, you know, it's not that we just dislike any of these players or that we, you know, don't, like, we have an agenda against them, but Sergi hadn't showed up this season, and he showed up well, and my hat's off to him, right? If he can do that every game, we're going to have a good season.
I agree with you, and I hope he prospers more because it only benefits us. But the one thing I wanted to touch on was I thought Umtiti did a great job defensively. He looked much better than normal. He had a lot of great defensive headers. He didn't look slow like he has been, I think. Overall, just like increased positive ability, play, style this game today. But that wraps it up for the golden period.
And then we get to the period where we look like we have the rest of the season. And so I think the stat is like in the last 20 minutes of the game, we had Dortmund had 75% of possession.
Which is so awful for us.
After we got the goal, we really seemed to turn off a switch and perform poorly. Now I have a few questions for you here, Yus. Two big ones, right? The first question I have is, do you think Arturo Vidal was the midfielder to sub in for the game at the moment it was at?
No. And I'll say because he's more of like a energetic player. He's more to go out there and push the ball. In this case, we were up 3. I don't remember if he was subbed in before the first Dortmund or before the Dortmund goal, but I don't think it was the position for him to come into. I didn't really know what he was supposed to do. Is he just giving, you know, Rakitic a break? Is he coming in? What is he trying to do here? Is he trying to gain control of the ball? That's not really his super forte in that.
Yeah, I think you're going on the right direction, yeah, in my opinion, which is like Vidal is good in games that I feel like are hectic and we need less of a technical player to hold the ball and to make like, crazy passes that, you know, that bridge that front line and get the balls to our front three who are running. And I felt like it was kind of a misplaced substitution.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was even necessary. I don't know why Rakitic necessarily needs a break. We did have Arthur on the bench, right? Why not?
I mean,
play
that's
Arthur?
The big thing I'm thinking is, yeah, that Arthur would have been a good player because, you know, we're up 3-0. We win the game. We're going through the groups. I just felt like we could have put Arthur in and he would have helped. You know, kind of what we were saying is a drawback to Arthur in some situations, it's very positive, right? When you have a 3-goal lead and you have someone who can slow down the game, mm-hmm, who can kind of hold the ball and figure out how do we control the game and not let the other team get a chance in. I feel like Arthur is much better at that than Vidal.
I agree. What other questions you got for me? Said you had a few.
So, yeah, here's the big question I have. When we think about why this game turned off, like why the Barca team played so well for most of the game and then turned off, is it, one, do you think it was a Valverde tactical decision? Or two, do you think the players became complacent? Or three, do you think the players lack the stamina to compete for a full 90?
I don't think, despite my normal train of thought with Valverde making decisions like this, I think it was too much of a spontaneous moment for Valverde to have chosen that. Because it was later in the game, after the third goal.
By the way, I did check that Vidal came on just the minute after they scored. So,
scored? Okay. Yeah. So it didn't, not the best time to do it anyway. But yeah, I don't think it was a Valverde decision because it was kind of random. I don't really, like, it seemed like the whole team just unanimously did it, right? It didn't seem...
Which you might take to think that it was a coach's choice, right? I'm not saying I do.
But it was very odd for that to happen. It just seemed like they went to sleep, not like, oh, let's play defensively. It's not like, let's pull back, you know,
well, that, but
hold
at the
same ball.
Time, but couldn't that be what Valverde's defense is?
I hope he didn't, because, I mean, that makes me think less of him.
So if you don't think it was that, do you think it's a fitness issue or an attitude issue?
That's a good question. Based on this game, I wouldn't say it was an attitude issue. Our attitude looked really good. I couldn't chalk it down to that. A fitness issue? Maybe. I mean, we have Umtiti in the back that hasn't played that many games. He's, you know, just coming in.
Yeah, but I don't think it was Umtiti who was
true
causing the issues, right? It was a lot of our midfield and front three who seemed to turn off. I mean, I think my take is that it's kind of the player's attitude, man. I think we've seen it all across the season. It's like we have certain games where when the players aren't challenged, they seem to lack like that hunger to like close out games. Or, you know, unless we get smacked in the face with an early counterattack goal like we have a few times in La Liga this season, they don't wake up. You know, they kind of they just like sleepwalk into a game. And so for my take, I think it's, you know, it's partly the players, man. I think we've been talking about since Roma, since Anfield, like, well, why do we keep Valverde? And then we always say, like, well, it must be because the players want him and they think, hey, we lost that Anfield, you know, because of ourselves and how we played on the field, not Valverde. And I think a game like today starts to make me think, like, you know what, these players just, they don't have that killer mindset.
The one issue that I have with your thought is not that I necessarily disagree with it, but I usually see that, you know, turning off in a game that's just like either not going well or hasn't started off well and there's no energy from the start. I just don't think this game particularly fits in that narrative. Not to say you're wrong, because it could still be a systematic issue, right? And it can easily, you know, dribble into this kind of game.
So why do you think it happened?
It's a good question. I mean, you're catching me on the spot. I can only only speculate. I just think that...
Well, when you saw it, did you have a thought like, damn it, why are we losing the ball? Because, I mean, Dortmund put on Sancho, and he's a really good player, and he scored an excellent goal. But, you know, I think it could be a little bit what you alluded to earlier in the game, which was they played so bad in that first half. I'm sure a little bit of it is them turning up, us turning down, maybe meeting somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
But overall, I do think that the players just kind of lost like interest almost. Like, all right, we're up 3-0, we're at the Camp Nou. Yeah.
I mean, I could see that. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's a good thought to keep in mind for previous games and seeing, like, does this trend continue, right?
And for looking forward, because we are about to come up against a huge game this Sunday.
Atletico! I'm kind of worried. It's away.
Yes, it is away. But I was worried before this game when we showed up, right?
True.
And I also think Atletico do not, like, Atletico have the names in terms of the coaches and the starting players who excite me, but their just performance this season has been pretty lacking, in my opinion.
True, and they also just lost to Juventus in the Champions League. That can't help them up too much, because I think they're struggling a little bit, but... I'm trying to think. For that kind of game, I think last year when we played them, we were much more worried. We thought that they looked a lot better.
And we should have been. Remember, right? We scored in like the 88th and the 89th minute.
Yeah.
It was Suarez had that crazy curler.
I agree.
And then Messi on the breakaway to win it.
We were in San Diego when we saw
yes,
that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that was
right.
At the Camp Nou.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a bit nervous for this game. I mean, I think kind of similar to how we're talking about, Dortmund came into this game not on a hot streak. I think Atletico, too, is in a little bit of a lull this season.
But I'm going to go with a 2-0 on that one, actually.
Really? Away?
Yeah. I think Atletico hasn't made me feel the same way as it did last season, although Barca doesn't have me feeling the
True.
Same way at all.
Great point.
But after this win, hopefully it kind of brings us a little energy. And hopefully the connections we had between the players, you know, really gets amped up. I was really hoping that we would see Dembele for this game, though.
Because, yeah, looking at Atletico in November, right? Start of the month, 1-1 at Sevilla. Lost 2-1 to Leverkusen in the Champions League. Beat Espanyol 3-1. Tied Granada 1-1. And then lost to Juve 1-0. So,
not good.
Like I was saying, not good at all. Not having a great scoring record. So I'm going to go with a 3-0 Barca win. I think we'll see Messi score 2, and then we will also see Luis Suarez score 1.
Okay, I think I'm going to go Griezmann Suarez on this one.
Nice. Any predictions for midfield or center backs? Do you think, I mean, Pique should be back, right?
Yeah, I think he'll start over Umtiti.
Will Umtiti start over Lenglet? I mean, that's, you know, I don't think on form or on, you know, their performance this season that should happen. But I do think one thing that might be contributing to PK's little bit of a lackadaisical, you know, October, November this season is that he's had to play almost every game this season,
True.
Right? So, like, if we have Umtiti back, we shouldn't, let's get this right. And actually, this is a funny point about this last game. This was the first time Umtiti has started back-to-back games since, I think, 14 months ago. So I don't want him to start 3 in a row, and I think it'll end up being Piqué and Lenglet. But, like, now that we have Umtiti somewhat back and looking better, we really need to start rotating those center backs more to try and get rest and get them fit for the season. I think in the midfield, I'm going to say we're going to see Arthur, Frankie, and Vidal.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to go within the midfield. FDJ, Boosie, and Arthur.
Interesting.
I don't think Vidal will start. I don't.
I feel like this is the type of game against Atletico where we kind of need that guy who's going to create some havoc. We're away. We need him to kind of, you know, try and push around and run all over the place. And I think Vidal fits that role well.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm also in my head fighting against what would Valverde do, right?
That's the million-dollar question. I don't think any of us.
And
really.
Then I think default front three because Dembele's hurt now. Griezmann, Messi, Suarez.
Yeah.
And then Firpo, of course, and Roberto because of, again, the injuries are rampant in Barcelona, I guess, recently.
All right. Well, I think that does it. Thank you guys for listening on this Thanksgiving. I'm happy for one thing in life. The Barca Breakdown fans.
Wow. That's a good one. I'll give you that hot take.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I might be a little bit lying, but I really do appreciate you guys, and we hope you all have a nice and happy and safe Thanksgiving.
From wherever you're listening.
Yes. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I respect that.
See you Sunday.